Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life, the Ministry of Crossroads Counseling, on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. I'm your host, Christian Counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host, Carrie Fry.
We are a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and our real-life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So good Sunday morning to you. We're excited to be coming to you today and just to have a chance to talk and connect with you. Recently, I have been writing a special report for my website, CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com. And what I'm writing about is growth and transformation. And the article that I'm writing is entitled, It's Time to Grow, 3 Steps to Create Positive and Lasting Change in Your Life. And so I thought that on this Sunday morning, we could talk about those 3 steps and what they are and how they can help other people grow.
Awesome. Travis has been doing a lot of work with change lately, his own personal growth. And so I think a lot of that he just wants to share with other people. Would that be kind of what you're thinking?
Absolutely. Yeah. So working, well, so a little bit about what I've been doing. A lot of people are familiar with Henry Cloud and John Townsend. They, the best or most well-known work that they have done is Boundaries. And I have been connected with their organization, participating in a lot of the seminars that they do where they really focus in on personal growth and transformation, spiritual growth, really. And so those two guys and the work that they do is great, really this strong integration of faith and psychology, which is what we're all about here. So I thought I would write some ideas, these 3 steps here, that could really inspire others to learn how to experience change and growth in their own life.
So step number 1 is to get connected. This, I think, I mean, this is the main step where it gets kind of divided into smaller sections, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So there's no surprise here, right, that the very first step on the Connected Life radio program is to get connected. And the reason why being connected is really vital to a person's growth is that what we all need is, we need family, right? If you think about how we are born into families and in that safe, hopefully, right? Not everyone has this experience, but hopefully in that safe and that safety and the security of the family, we're able to grow from an infant into a toddler and then into a child and then into a teen and into an adult. That was kind of a mouthful to say. But it's that connection with our family where we can safely kind of explore and learn and grow. And when the world is kind of a scary place, we have that connection with our family, with our mother, with our father, or sometimes it could be, you know, maybe a grandparent or adoptive parent. But the idea here is that you have that solid, secure base that you can be rooted in, just like a tree needs to be rooted into the soil and pull the nutrients from the soil. That's where people really start to grow.
That's basically what the church is too, correct? Like God created and Christ established the church in order to work as that extended family, his body, to do the healing and to have people do the growth that needs to be done in everybody's life, that we can all support and lift up each other. Now, oftentimes today, it's not exactly the way it functions, but in the original form, I believe that it was the church should resemble more of a family than a building or an organization.
Yeah, I'm really excited where you're going with that, and that you brought this part up, because absolutely, church, you know, it's the family of God. It's our brothers, it's our sisters that we connect with and that we really have community with. And so in that same way as our biological family, or the family that we're raised by or born into, the family of God is, I think, you know, designed, you know, created by God to be that safe place where we can, be rooted into a church and a community where we can really connect and then grow and experience the transformation. So this part of connection is so vitally important to growth. We simply cannot do it on our own. And the American culture, the American mindset is like the strong, independent, individualistic ideal, right? That you don't need anyone, and really, you know, you can be like the Lone Ranger and you can go out and do it on your own. And that simply does not work. Like the tagline in our show says, the more connected you are, the holier and the healthier you will be. And so with that connection, you know, you want to have that community of safe people that that you can really be open, that you can be honest with, that you can be real with. And so one of the things that, you know, along this line in step one, that people can really work towards is forming a connection circle. And essentially, what a connection circle is, some people call it like a support circle, a support group, or like a life team. But the idea, the concept is really basically the same. What a connection circle is it's a group of people that you, first, that you really like, and second, that you trust, so that you can really connect with and be in community with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have really had this passion for a long time, this passion of having a circle of friends that we can really be in community with and that we can connect with, that, you know, whether it's good news or bad news, we can pick up that phone, or we can call, you know, go over to that person's house. That's even better, right? Or go meet them at a coffee shop and just really sit down and share our life with them and have them share our life with us, and have that really just be a reciprocal relationship of sharing and caring for one another.
So is a connection circle something where it's multiple people that all meet together at the same time, or is it one-on-one relationships with different people that are in your life, just meeting one person one time at Starbucks and maybe meeting someone else for lunch another day? Is that still a connection circle, or does it all have to be the same, like, small group type?
Well, I think it can be that, and then it can be like a same small group people too, right? So within a connection circle, you could have, maybe you have two or three people that, or maybe like five or six people that regularly meet together. But within that circle of friends, you know, you might connect with one or two people on a certain day, and then you might come back and then have more of a corporate type of meeting.
So it does require that all the people would meet together. It's not just one-on-one relationships, random times.
Yeah, I think it can be either or. Sometimes it can be everyone meeting together, or you can have a circle of friends where, like, maybe you know Bob and then you know Susie, but Bob and Susie don't know one another, but yet they're still part of your circle. Okay. So in essence, they're still part of the people that are people that you trust, that you like, and that you really want to do life with.
So how do you find those people? How do you how do you know if they're safe? How do you know if you obviously know if you like someone pretty easy, pretty quickly, if you like them, but how do you know and build that confidence that they would be trustworthy? I think the main thing is, do they like you? And sometimes that's hard to come to the understanding or to get to that place where you really know that.
Right. So there's four questions that I, in my special report that I've encouraged people to ask when they're trying to pick or choose people that they really want to be a part of their inner circle, their connection circle. So one is, do I like this person? Because I think that's really important. You're not going to want to hang out with people that you really don't like, and that you want them to like you too. You have, mutual interest and, things in common. You just enjoy being around that person. Number two, is that person trustworthy? And to really discover if someone is trustworthy, I think a really good way to do that is just to take small little steps towards sharing something real or authentic with that person and see how they respond and how they react. Now, some people might get really uneasy with, you being open and sharing something more personal. They may not want to hear it. Some people may, launch into
how to fix it,
how to solve it. I think you, ideally, right, you want someone who is really going to be understanding, be caring. There's nothing wrong with offering solutions, but someone who's going to be safe, right? What I mean by that is they're not going to be judgmental, mm-hmm. right? They will give you truth, but they're also going to give grace. The other one is, does that person, the other question to ask, question number three, is do they have a growth mindset? They may not call it a growth mindset, but in other words, are they interested in spiritual growth, emotional growth? Do they continually seek out God? Do they seek out relationship with other people? Are they kind of hungry and thirsty for righteousness? And are they hungry and thirsty for growth and connection and transformation? You want to find people who are on that same path, who don't just simply want to hang out and watch football or talk about politics. Nothing wrong with those things, but who really want to go deeper in the relationship. And then number four, the fourth question is, how does that person handle authenticity in themselves and in others? And what I mean here is, are they real? Can they kind of open themselves up and just kind of be honest? And can you do that with them? So those are kind of the four questions that I think when you're looking to really build a connection circle, which remember, this is the very first crucial step to really growing, because you can't do it alone. You need the body of Christ. You need that support. And this is what, by the way, this is what I think makes groups like AA and other kind of recovery groups really successful, is that they have the connection and the support from the group, mm-hmm. right? And we are desperately and sorely missing it in our culture today.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Connected Life with Travis and Carrie Fry on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. To learn more about The Connected Life, you can visit us on Facebook. And if you're looking for a counselor, you can visit the CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com website that we have up. Now, the other thing that came to mind when we were talking about this, finding people to connect with, is just being that person yourself is really important. Being able to be a person who is trustworthy, making sure you're a person who has that growth mindset and that is able to be authentic with other people and not letting that fear, not hiding, and just being able to be there for people that need you. Not all of a sudden, always jumping into the fix mode, but right. Being able to listen. Right. So,
yeah, I like that concept that you really want to embody the characteristics that you would like to see in someone else that you're going to form the connection circle with, right, that you're going to do life with.
Mm-hmm. It's not always easy. I feel like I'm always on that journey to trying to be able to be that person, but also be able to allow other people to know that and feel that I am that person, just so that others can be vulnerable and feel safe.
Right. So you just hit step number two, and that's vulnerability. So step number one is to get connected. You cannot grow isolated and alone. You need the connection, and you need community to grow. The second step is that you have to get vulnerable. So assuming that you have found some people that you like, that you feel safe with, speak truth and love, they're non-judgmental, they're really caring. The next step to growth is to really be open and vulnerable with who you are and with where you are, wherever that may be, like in your journey, in your growth and transformation process. And so when I think about vulnerability, what comes to my mind is, ooh, I don't like that. You know, being open and being vulnerable, it's really difficult. It's really hard.
That's surprising, though, because he's always vulnerable. He just goes out. He's pretty easily.
Really? You see me as being always vulnerable?
Yeah, I feel like you're pretty vulnerable. You just open up and, yeah, my dad died. I'm here. That was awful. And you go into things and you seem to go there very easy.
I think
that's great.
Yeah. So I think there's layers to that.
Yeah. Right? So there's different layers of vulnerability. And I think that's healthy.
Yes. Right. Because you don't want to go around being vulnerable with everyone. Uh-huh. That would really be kind of awkward and weird. But you don't want to avoid vulnerability altogether. Really what this is about is, let me just say this, right? Like in the Christian community, I think this is an area that we really have a lot of difficulty with. We have a lot of difficulty of just being real with ourselves and real with other people. And so on that Sunday morning, you know, we could really be in a tough place and we get asked by, you know, whoever, hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. You know, God is good. And of course God is good. But, you know, we all struggle. In fact, at any given time, most of us have hard things that we're going through. And then we have good things that we have in our life all at the same time. And so being vulnerable is about being authentic. It's about being real. It's about letting people see the real you. And this is really the starting point of change.
And if you question whether it's Christian to be the real you, you need to read the Psalms. Because when you read the Psalms, there's no question that God allows you to be in a bad place. And he doesn't really expect everyone to be, oh, everything's great because, oh, God's, it's going to be wonderful someday. And I'll just pray about it. And I know he'll take care of it. He doesn't just expect you to do that and put on this mask. He allows us, he allowed the psalmists to be in that really dark place, to just wallow in that pain and suffering and to express it to him. And he valued that so much that he preserved it in the Bible. So there's so much importance in understanding that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel awful, to feel just like you're rolling in the dirt and you can't get up out of the mud, and that you can allow other people to see that, and that God values where you are and can use you where you are.
It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
I like that line. That's really good. Now, when I look at Jesus in the New Testament, what I think that he gives us a really good model. And what I like about him is that those that he chose to follow him were some pretty, they were real people, right, with a lot of issues and a lot of struggles. And so what I love is that he did not first require them to kind of, well, clean themselves up, get their act together, and then, you know, come and follow him. He accepted him. He accepted them and loved them right where they were in their process or in their growth journey, right? Well, he also challenged them to get real with who they really were, and more importantly, with who he really was. Yeah. And so that's what I really love, right? And this idea of just being open and being real and being honest with God, with yourself, and then with others. And that kind of triangular piece there, I think, is really important. So step one, you guys, is to get connected. Step two is to get vulnerable. These are the first two steps to really experiencing transformation and growth in your life. The third step, and probably no surprise here, is to find someone who, a counselor, a coach, a mentor, someone who can really come alongside you and can really invest in you and just kind of pour into your life. It's important to have that community and those brothers and sisters, but it's also important to have someone who has the expertise, who has the training, who can really help you to see those blind spots, or help you to see those parts of yourself that need to change or that need to grow. And so finding a trusted coach and counselor. And, you know, this is what I do for a living, and it's an honor and a privilege for me. But I myself have, I have people who are mentors or people who are coaches who pour into my life, who help me grow and who help me change, who can, you know, challenge me to really be the best version of myself. And so the three steps to creating growth are to get connected, to get vulnerable, and then to get a really good coach or a counselor. If you are someone who's interested in growth, if you want to learn more about us and the Connected Life Radio or our counseling practice, which is Crossroads Counseling, the best way to do that is to either A, go to Facebook and just look up the Connected Life Radio. You can find us there. We would love to hear from you. Ask questions. Give us something, a topic that you want us to discuss on the show, and we will do it. If you're looking for counseling help, you can visit us on our website at counselingphoenixscottsdale.com, or you can call us at 623-680-3486. So we're going to be signing off here, and I like to end my shows pretty much the same way every time, and that's just to remind you to get connected and stay connected, Arizona.